From President Washington to President Obama, there's always been some speculation about the love lives of our nation's leaders. But what about affairs of the same-sex kind? Let's face it, most ambitious men love attention, and that means having it come from just about anybody. Until the turn of the century, same-gender sexual experiences weren't uncommon in the lives of men.
So how would you know if the love that dare not speak its name was taking place in the Oval Office?
Join us today as we try to uncover the facts and myths on the secret gay lives of our nation leaders and founding fathers.
Who was the gayest founding father and the most swinging guy on the nation's currency?
Who was the first gay Republican?
Why was the Revolutionary Army called an army of lovers?
Plus, pop singer Aaron Carter now denies Michael Jackson ever gave him cocaine or Jesus juice.
Harry Potter's Daniel Radcliffe reveals he'd rather not drink any alcohol.
And Bradley Manning says he was bullied in the military for being gay. Was the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell ushered in by the military's urgent need to prosecute Manning for his alleged WikiLeaks? Find out. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. On today's Feast of Fun, a special tribute to the Broadway legend, Sandy Duncan.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Sandy.
Hit it, Murray.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Sandy Duncan. I have one glass eye, a real life wheat thin eater. Yes, I am. Triscuits, they just pass me by. I am Sandy Duncan, sweetheart. As Peter Pan, I used to fly. Valley Harper lost her sitcom to me in the 80s, 'cause I'm the fabulous Sandy Duncan, don't you know? Sandy, Sandy, how you love me, how you love me, Sandy Duncan.
Fausto, Fausto, what the hell was that?
You don't like my song?
No, not really. I don't want to hear any more of that stuff.
But these are fantastic national anthem and folk song parodies written by my delightful friend Karen Lewis. You can see more of her work on kslewis.com. In grad school, she got like a whole book of children's national anthem and folk songs.
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote alternative lyrics. They're very colorful and delicious.
Oh, but yesterday was 4th of July. Today's the 5th of July.
Well, we're taping this on the 4th of July. And, you know, we figured, you know, now that everybody got their patriotism out, they want a little satire to cleanse the palate. She has a lot of delicious little goodies. Check this one out.
You're a grand old hag. You're a shrewish old bag. You're a dried up, decrepit harridan. You're the emblem of senilic love, rocking our wicker rattan. Every heart beats true for your purple hairdo and your dentures that you store in rags. Should all acquaintance be forgot, keep your eye on the grand old hag.
Thank you very much.
Fausto, Fausto, today,
what?
Today's show is not about grand old hags or Sandy Duncan or her one fucking glass eye.
It's not.
No, it's about sex.
Ooh.
And history.
Oh. Mark, the show's called Feast of Fun. It's not called Feast of Learning Things About History.
This is fun. This is juicy gossip, lies and truth, the sexual lives of our nation's presidents and founding fathers.
Oh, that is good.
Mm-hmm.
Woo, we had a fabulous 3-day weekend, and I'm full of patriotic bliss.
Lots of firework smells.
Oh, yeah. Baby, you're a firework. Come on, let me show you what it's worth. Or how does it go?
Katy Perry song, right?
Is that Katy Perry?
Yeah, it's Katy Perry. I'm not really too familiar with it.
I thought it was a Sandy Duncan song. You know, the thing about I really appreciate about 4th of July is celebrating what the United States does well. Because this country is full of mistakes, horrific atrocities, and blatant disregard for equality. And some people are even argue that the United States has become King George, and that King George finally won the War of Independence. The United States was jealous of his power, and now they have it.
Well, we are a much bigger country than England ever was.
I know, but I'm saying that the United States, for the founding fathers, were complaining about the behavior of King George, and now this country's powers, military and the financial sector is behaving in a lot of ways the way King George used to behave.
Very true.
Zing.
We have tyrants in office.
But what I want to celebrate is Americans' sense of humor. Because one country does this really well, and this is the United States, is the ability to heal through laughter. It's campy, irreverent nature, almost like obsessive love for popular culture. And of course, it's wacky folk songs. Mm. And Karen Lewis, who's a close friend of mine, I mean, she represents all these things about what is good about this country. And as a Puerto Rican guy, what makes me want to leave Puerto Rico and live in the continental United States and immerse myself in all this.
We have more stars on the flag than Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico only has one flag.
That's right. More stars, more fun.
We have 50. 50 stars.
Well, and you know, some people argue that Puerto Rico should be the 51st
star. My parents used to put out a flag and it only had like 48 stars on it.
Really?
Yeah. It was an old flag.
You're so old, your flag have 48 stars. Yeah. So, some people are saying, it's like, what do you get when you mix red, white, and blue together?
Kind of like a lavender, right?
That's right, baby.
Ooh. Lavender.
And, you know, if you go back into the founding fathers' lives and the culture on which this nation was built on, it was very fruity. I mean, it was very inspired by European culture and that sort of Renaissance and French court. And
well, they were wearing wigs. Come on, they looked like drag queens half the time.
They were, and they were powdering their faces. And
that was to hide like all their herpes and poxes and things like that.
And their sex lives were really rambunctious. You know, Benjamin Franklin, who was on the $100 bill, you know,
he was the big swinger.
He was a swinger, and he said that he loved so many women. He joked that the great miracle in my life is that I not contracted no diseases
that he knew of. Could have chlamydia. He wouldn't know. He could have had syphilis. He wouldn't have known.
Well, because Benjamin Franklin was very much a liberal champion, and to this day, and so a lot of people try to discredit him by saying that he contracted venereal diseases that made him go mad. But other historians clarify that he died from a busted artery at the age of 80, mm-hmm. and had he contracted a venereal disease, he wouldn't have lived as long.
80 is pretty old for back then.
Oh, yeah. You know. I mean, you know, and he was a big guy.
I saw that HBO special on John Adams, and he was the one that kind of pushed Jefferson and put like all the God stuff in the Constitution.
Well, and he used that God stuff to get laid.
He sure did. Like, I think most ministers. But shout out to you, Reverend Eddie Long.
But he was kind of a celebrity, you know, and so when he would travel to Parisian courts, he would get jiggy with it with a lot of these women. They're just like, kind of like, you know, Amadeus.
Well, people like foreigners. Aren't you always turned on by a foreign accent?
I am. Volansky Brew Room Service.
Hey, Mr. Franklin, it's so good to see you.
Young man, thank you for coming into my office. I want to talk to you about electricity.
But he liked the ladies, though.
He spent a lot of time with the VJJ. Mm-hmm. Yes, Benjamin Franklin loved pussy. But what's really interesting in doing all this research, that a lot of historians agree that there was a lot of friskiness in the Revolutionary Army because it was an army that was nicknamed an army of lovers, but also that it was volunteers. It was people from all sorts of walks of life. And, it was not necessarily like the elite kind of fighters. It was just people from all.
It was freedom fighters, people wanting to be free.
Well, it was people who were, you know, saw that there's money to be made and be independent from England. And so they said, hey, I want to get on this racket, too. And so George Washington had the first discharge. He actually kicked out some soldiers for having gay sex. And it's not necessarily because they didn't want them being close to each other because they like shared tents. They would sleep together.
Well, you'd have to sleep together for warmth.
Yes, you did.
Valley Forge was very, very cold.
But, it it's rumored that George Washington actually was very deeply in love with General Lafayette. Everybody had a thing for this guy, Lafayette.
Mm-hmm.
And Alexander Hamilton was in love with him. And
But George Washington, he could take his wooden teeth out, so he could give you some a real good oral.
He said that he probably married Martha for the money, and that there was not much fire in thy sheets.
Well, they never had kids.
They never had kids, but they say that it's attributed to George Washington's a fever that he had as a in his younger years, and that rendered him sterile. And
that fever was a fever for cock.
Maybe so.
He's like, I must get cock.
This is a letter George Washington wrote to Marquis de Lafayette in September 30th, 1970. 1779. No distance can keep anxious lovers long asunder. I anxiously await your cock in my rectum.
Now that part he didn't put in there.
He didn't put that in.
Well, he was talking
there.
About themselves.
They
or?
Were talking about each other. Yeah, they were very close.
Language does change over time, and they talked sometimes like in very flowery language. So maybe when they were talking about that lover, like that lover stuff, it was like the equivalent of today saying, "Hey, dude, what's up? I think you're cool."
He had a big thing for John Adams, and there's corroborated stories that said he would accidentally trip when he goes over to his house and land on him and kiss him.
Ooh.
So, it's
John
one thing
Adams?
To say John Adams, the John Adams, George Washington. That wasn't in the miniseries.
No. Well, who wants to do with that with Paul Giamatti? Nobody.
And he most probably smoked pot and definitely grew it. Most of the people at the time did. And you didn't see that in the miniseries either, of them smoking a nice big, doobie.
I would have liked to have seen them high.
Yeah.
Hemp was an important crop,
So
natural fibers.
A lot of people say that. That by today's measures that our nation's founding fathers would be shocked that we have banned cannabis or hemp and that made it illegal since most of the people at the time smoked it and grew it.
Well, big money has stomped it out. The petrochemical industry has said, I'm sorry, you can't use marijuana because people are getting high, so you can't use the medication. And then it's also too, people use that as a fiber and you're creating like the bottoms of your rugs would be made out of it. And now they're like, no, it has to be made out of nylon.
So definitely, our first president, George Washington, definitely had, I don't know if he necessarily had a lot of gay sex, but I think definitely, he definitely has been documented to have kissed John Adams on the lips.
But was that like in the European fashion? I mean,
no, it was kind of like, oops, I tripped, and it's kind of like a Bugs Bunny kind of.
He was treating him as though his bitch, though. It was like your prison girlfriend.
Yeah, so. And then there was Alexander Hamilton, who fought in the Revolutionary War and also had a thing for George Washington's BFF, General Lafayette. They all love this general.
French dick is good dick.
And, I'm looking at, paintings of the time, and they're all, for the time period, I'm sure there were very attractive men because they were very athletic. They fought in these wars. They pushed their bodies to the limit. They were relatively young, and they came from an aristocracy, so that means they could bathe.
Well,
to
people
some
did
extent.
Have different hygiene back then,
and so I'm sure that they found each other very attractive and probably got it on. But one man that Alexander Hamilton fought with was the aristocratic Southerner John Lawrence, who didn't live very long. He was an aide to General Washington and once fought a duel to defend Washington's honor.
Ooh, he's like, girl, I got your back.
I got your back, girl. Lawrence was married briefly in 1776, but his letters were passionate on the subject of friendship, as when he wrote to his friend Richard Meade. Adieu, I embrace you tenderly. My friendship with you will burn with that pure flame which has kindled you your virtues. Hamilton, who had not yet married till the time, playfully raised the subject of marriage as a substitute or displacement for his own love of Lawrence, as an opportunity to explore his own feelings and to gauge the other man's response. So here's a letter from Hamilton to Lawrence in April of 1779. Let me read it as Paul Lynde. Called in my professions, warm in my friendships, I wish, my dear Lawrence, it might be in my power, by action rather than words, to convince you that I love you. I shall only tell you that till you bade us adieu, I hardly knew the value you had taught my heart to set upon you. Indeed, my friend, it was not well done. You know the opinion I entertain of mankind, and how much it's my desire to preserve myself free from these particular attachments, and keep my happiness independent of the caprice of others. You should not have taken advantage of my sensibility to steal into my affections without my consent. Damn you! I added that part. But as you have done it, and as we generally indulgent to those we love, I shall not scruple to pardon the fraud you have committed, on the condition that for my sake, if not for your own, you will always continue to merit the partiality which you have artfully instilled into me.
Ooh. What instilled into me?
Instilled
is that,
into me. And then later on he wrote...
You stuck it in me and left is what he
stuck it in me and you left me. So Alexander Hamilton was the bottom. And later he wrote... Do I want a wife? No. I have plagues enough without desiring to add to the number that greatest of all. And if I were silly enough to do it, I should take care how I employ a proxy. They didn't call them beards, they call them proxies. Did I mean to show my wit? If I did, I am sure I missed my aim. Get it? Mm. Did I only intend to frisk? In this I have succeeded. But I have done a whole lot more. I have gratified my feelings by lengthening out the only kind of intercourse now in my power with my friend. Adieu.
Intercourse? Does he mean like intercourse, intercourse?
You know, these letters are just found in a drawer somewhere and left for
drawer.
Us to... To
gay
interpret.
Love letters.
So, yeah, Alexander Hamilton was a Federalist, and so he was a financial conservative representing the views of bankers and wealthy businessmen, and in a lot of ways, he shares the same philosophy that a gay Republican would today, which is that the country's interests are best served when we serve the needs of the wealthy and the elite. And he was much against the other founding fathers of the time because he wanted to have better relationships with England because he saw it as financially savvy. Mm. And, you know, so in a lot of ways, I consider, you know, and I don't understand why, like, gay Republicans want to attach their legacy or their history to Abraham Lincoln, which doesn't really politically share the same kind of viewpoint as Alexander Hamilton. So for those of you who are identify as gay Republicans, go get some therapy. But, you know, consider adopting Alexander Hamilton as your predecessor, because he truly was somebody who deeply loved another man and thought that representing the views of bankers and wealthy businessmen was good for the country.
Mm. Well, I think because the Republican Party did not actually exist at the time of Hamilton. I think it started to exist around the time of Abraham Lincoln.
Well, and political parties changed through time, and the Republican Party of Abraham Lincoln certainly is not the Republican Party of today.
Mm.
But, you know, the idea of whether you, what kind of government you serve and whose interests you serve, I would say that Alexander Hamilton shared that a lot in common with conservative Republicans today.
Okay.
And so, you know, you can argue that his view of how government should function and whose needs should be represented was akin to what these people want to today. Mm-hmm. Now, the Republican Party today has also been adopted by a bunch of poorly educated, superstitious, religious fanatics.
Michelle Bachmann.
I like someone like Michelle Bachmann, I don't think really shares anything with Alexander Hamilton, and she probably doesn't even know who he is.
You're probably right.
Actually, she's like, he's on the $10 bill, and I noticed that the $10 bill is pink.
Hmm. Is he a communist?
No, he's pink. He likes. I don't understand why they put pink in the $10 bill with Alexander Hamilton's picture.
because the green was too easy to duplicate.
But so they had purple for Abraham Lincoln and pink for the $10 bill. And those are long seen as LGBT colors.
Well, and probably the engravers are probably gay. Artists are usually gay, so why not?
Why not? It's like nobody's going to pick up on that except Mark and Fausto. A lot of the topics and ideas and discussion that we have on today's show can be found in two great books. Jonathan Katz's book, Gay American History, Lesbians and Gay Men in the USA. And we put up a link to that. And Mark, you have
and the other
one?
Book is One Nation Under Sex that was written by Larry Flint and Dr. David Eisenbach. He's a
the
PhD.
Larry Flint.
The Larry Flint of Hustler fame.
Okay. And the People versus Larry Flint.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So, he's got a book out. And his book is How the Private Lives of Presidents, First Ladies, and Their Lovers Changed the Course of American History. And he goes on to mention some of the gay presidents and some of the gay first ladies. And the first one they bring up is James Buchanan. Now, he was the only bachelor president. He never married. But he fell in love with an Alabama politician named William Rufus King. And they were notorious around Washington for having a relationship. And so,
Andrew Jackson referred King as Miss Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people did, too.
Well, it was, yes. And then it was Buchanan was Miss Nancy, and then King was Aunt Fancy, which were common 19th century terms for gay men.
Miss Nancy and Aunt Fancy.
Mm-hmm. So those, and so even like when Abraham Lincoln became elected president, you know, Buchanan was such a supporter of the South that when the South started to succeed, he did nothing. So he let the South take over like the garrisons and the cities when they overturned the army there. And he could have done something and probably saved thousands of lives, you know, but he didn't. So I don't. And so anyway, let me read a little bit to you from this book, because I think it's really fantastic. In a letter to future First Lady Sarah Polk, Governor Brown reported that Buchanan and his better half got into a tiff, and Aunt Fancy, who was king, may now be seen every day, trigged out in her best clothes and smirking about in hopes of securing better terms than with her former companion, Buchanan. And he describes them as they were an odd couple. King was handsome, curly-haired, dandy, while Buchanan had mismatched eyes, one blue, one hazel, a whiskerless face, and features that one historian called eunuch-like, endomorphic. To top it off, Buchanan had myopia in one squinty eye that forced him to tilt his neck forward and cock his head sideways to see straight. So he was kind of funny looking, I guess.
Yeah, I'm looking at here pictures of him, and he does have his, in a lot of portraits, his head tilted to the side. And, you know, we kind of like know him when he was silver haired in a lot of portraits, but there's some portraits of him as a younger man, and my gaydar goes off.
Mm. He writes a letter to a friend of his, Buchanan Dales. He says, I am so solitary and alone, having no companion in the house with me. I have gone wooing to several gentlemen, but have not succeeded with any of them. I feel that it is not good for a man to be alone, and should not be astonished to find myself married to some old maid who can nurse me when I am sick, provide good dinners for me when I am well, and not expect from me any very ardent or romantic affection. Wow.
Wow.
So is he lit? He did not want pussy.
He never married. So no. He didn't have a first lady.
No, he never had a first lady. I think he had like his sister stepped in and helped out.
So like, hey, his fag head came in and she's like, hey, let's throw a party.
But people all around like talked and said that this king guy was his wife. They'd say Buchanan and his wife. But they never printed anything in the paper because back then you never reported on anything like that. It would be unfit to print something in a newspaper of a gay nature. It wasn't until later, like till the 1880s or 1890s, when people started like reporting on gay sex.
Well, even into the 1900s with Liberace, he successfully sued a newspaper for daring to say that he was gay.
And what he did with Buchanan also did is he also was engaged to a woman who he died. And so he was like, oh, my heart's been broken. I'll never love again.
And when she died, he begged the family to allow him to go to the funeral, and he wasn't allowed to go to it.
Oh.
Yeah, because they were like, you fucked with our daughter's heart. You know, it's like, you're gay. It's like, go away from, you know, they didn't want to have anything to do with him.
Yeah. They said he was crazy for slavery, and then he had like romantic notions about what slavery was.
Well, people that then had a lot of romantic notions about a lot of things because they didn't have a lot of media to show them what it was like. It was a pamphlet or a newspaper or a book.
Mm.
And a lot of people thought about slavery the way they think of parents and children, and not necessarily because they thought that the slave owner was treating the slave well, but because parents abused their children that severely at that time period.
Kids were treated poorly too. Slaves were treated poorly. And so they thought, you know, it's the same kind of relationship.
Yeah. So would you, it would be the, they thought of it as the a financial relationship or the equivalent of asking parents to give up their children.
Well, it was like a benevolent association.
Now we all know better.
We all know it's all crap. But
back then they were all like going, well, you know, it's like, what would the slave do without his parent, you know, his master?
Well, even when, like, because he knew Lincoln was going to change things. And so Lincoln got elected. He was still in office. And he put out a statement that says, the South has no right to secede, but I have no power to prevent anything. And that he could have.
He was the president of the United States.
You know, he could have done something.
I'm just one man. I cannot change the world.
The Chicago Tribune called him, he said, quote, the first American executive to keep traitors in his cabinet after they had shown their treason. Because he had a lot of Southerners in the cabinet.
Wow.
Like, just let it happen. Let it happen. So basically, he really destroyed the presidency in many ways.
And he's considered one of the worst U.S. presidents.
Worst.
Well, George W. Bush and, you know, might have that title, but we'll talk about him later. But he's
coming up.
He's coming up too as the worst U.S. president ever.
Well, I think Buchanan might have a run on him.
Yeah, I think it's hard to beat that.
Yeah.
But George W. Bush took us to war in Iraq. A lot of people speculate and a lot of people agree that he knew that there was no weapons of mass destruction, that there was really no reason tied to the events of September 11th or to find terrorists. There was really no good reason to go to Iraq other than for oil and for money. And for that reason, a lot of people argue that George W. Bush is the worst president ever. But I think Buchanan,
that's modern times.
In modern times, yeah.
Right.
So let's talk about the most discussed U.S. president that is rumored to be gay, which is Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm. And his love affair with Joshua Speed.
So who was Joshua Speed?
Joshua Speed was a store owner and an heir to a Kentucky plantation that had 70 slaves. So he was a rich person. You know, they had money, but he and Lincoln decided to sleep in bed together.
They didn't need to sleep together, right. They did it anyway.
It wasn't uncommon, you know, especially out because Chicago at that point in time, or Springfield was the West, you know, that was pretty far west, it wasn't uncommon for men to sleep together in the same bed, you know, because they needed to. But these guys, they didn't have
to sleep. That's so romantic, though, you know?
Yeah.
That's the idea that that it's like in that day. I would have been very happy in some senses if I didn't die from some horrible disease.
But, you know, eventually one day Joshua Speed just said, you know what, I'm going to go back to Kentucky. So he left him. And then Speed later recalled, quote, Lincoln went crazy, had to remove razors from his room, take away all knives and other such things. And it was terrible. And Lincoln even wrote, I am now the most miserable man living. If what I feel were equally distributed to the whole human family, there would not be one cheerful face on the earth. Whether I shall ever be better, I cannot tell. I awfully forebode I shall not. To remain as I am is impossible. I must die or be better. So, man, he was hot for him. And he was heartbroken.
Oh, that's so sad.
And then he went on to marry Mary Todd, and she was batshit crazy. So they had a very tumultuous.
Well, Joshua Speed was pretty cute.
Was he?
Oh, girl, he was fine.
Well, you know.
I mean, because, you know, let's face it, Abraham Lincoln was a little bit long in the tooth.
I think, well, he had some kind of weird disease, so his face was kind of like, he was elongated and kind of weird. But I think maybe when he was younger, he might have been attractive because it was a young affair.
Yeah, Joshua Speed was gorgeous.
I mean, Lincoln was not an old man when he died.
Well, no, but,
you know.
So, I mean, politically, go on.
And so then eventually he went into the, you know, when he was in the White House, he maintained a relationship with a Captain Derrickson who would actually stay in his room. And they used to live in this little cabin, like his retreat. And that's where he actually wrote the Emancipation Proclamation. And so the room where they slept together there is the Emancipation Proclamation room.
That's very romantic.
I know, isn't it?
No wonder everybody wants to sleep in the Lincoln bedroom. Mm-hmm. It's the best, most comfortable
bed.
Well,
that's the White House, though.
Oh,
the Emancipation Proclamation room is in like in another house.
It's but didn't
like
you say that Lincoln invited this captain his bedroom at the White House?
At the White House, too, yeah. But,
well, that's where they got jiggy with it. It's a very comfortable, romantic bed.
But it's his summer retreat. That's where he wrote the Emancipation Proclamation to free the slaves.
So in terms of like founding fathers and that kind of era, I mean, that's pretty much it. There is a lot of incomplete information and a lot of speculation over whether somebody was gay or not. I want to know, was Taft ever gay? Because he was the first bear president.
I don't know if he was gay or not. But there's a funny, in my hometown in Erie, Pennsylvania, they had this big building, which is like a mansion, and he was staying there. And it's actually, I guess, what do you call it? Like the head of your university?
President.
Like the main hall?
The
main hall. So it was a main hall. It used to be a mansion. He was staying there, and they actually had to call the fire department because he got stuck in a bathtub in Erie, PA.
And he was well known for, I think, getting stuck in bathtubs is not the first one.
I think that's the only one that I know of.
I thought he got stuck in the White House bathtub, too.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I think they actually had to build a bigger one for him or something like that.
I heard they buried him in a piano crate.
They may have. But I wonder by today's standards just how big he would be. When you think about it,
maybe he was
because we're bigger people now. When you look at like theaters and seats and like even movie theaters from the 50s, they're much smaller than what they are today.
Well, because our nutrition's so much better today than it was back then.
Yeah.
So in Eleanor Roosevelt and the Roosevelts,
she was rumored to be a lesbian.
What was up with Eleanor Roosevelt's lesbian rumors?
She had
rumors?
A secretary that had like that she had they said had an affair, and they would write these long, passionate love letters to each other.
But the president and her husband, FDR, he was well-documented having a mistress with somebody else. So he wasn't necessarily having sex with her.
No, he wasn't. I think that they had sex for a little while and then they didn't. They were cousins. So I kind of think in some ways it was just like, let's keep the money in the family.
Wow.
I know. Sick, isn't it?
Well, or kinky. So let's go through some of these modern time presidents. So FDR, gay or not gay?
Not gay.
But his wife, definitely lesbian.
Lover of the labia.
Harry S. Truman.
I have no idea.
Okay, Dwight Eisenhower.
I sure as heck hope not.
He actually, interestingly, he came in a conservative and he left a liberal.
Oh, he did?
He warned the country that allowing the military to have unfettered control would create a military-industrial complex and would severely impact our ability to feed and clothe and provide health care for everyone.
Well, I know Truman, they were going to try and expel all the gays in the 40s from the military. And his secretary said, well, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to start with me. Because she came out to him and he's like, okay. So they put it off for a few years until, like, I think, 52.
John F. Kennedy?
I know nothing about any gay sex with him.
But he did have sex with Marilyn Monroe, and she actually said that she had a lesbian thing with
Joan Crawford.
With Joan Crawford, and it left her cold.
Yeah, she said it left me very cold.
LBJ.
They say he had a huge cock and he didn't mind showing it to people.
And Richard Nixon?
Tricky Dick. Well, with a name like Tricky Dick, you never know what they're up to.
Well, Richard Nixon was really, 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 really against gay rights. And he was president in, he entered the presidency in 1969. Later that summer was the Stonewall Riots. And so I'm sure the discussion of gay liberation was brought up by his cabinet. And a lot of people say that part of the reason why Chicago had allowed gay pride parades and celebrations is because Illinois and Chicago was such a Democratic stronghold. They wanted to give Nixon the finger. And so they allowed a lot of gay stuff to happen because he was so conservative.
Mm.
Gerald Ford?
Gerald Ford, he was an underwear model. So that kind of makes him gay.
Jimmy Carter. I heard he liked penis a lot.
Peanuts, Fausto, not penis.
Okay.
But he did say that he lusted in his.
Lusted after the peanuts.
Yes.
Peanuts. But seriously, Ronald Reagan, a lot of neoconservatives have been lately saying that he used to, before he was reborn as a conservative figure, that he was a communist sympathizer and enjoyed having gay sex, and he traded sexual favors to get ahead in Hollywood.
I believe it. Those actors in Hollywood, they're all whores, darling. They take the checks, they show them what they want.
George Herbert Walker Bush, the vice president of Ronald Reagan, and probably one of the most evil U.S. presidents ever, I would say.
Well, he's pretty much married to a man, isn't he?
Bill Clinton's interesting, you know, well documented all his affairs, but there was for a while there was drag queens that were saying that he had sex, or they were seduced or tried to be seduced by Bill Clinton when he was governor of Arkansas.
Really? Drag queens?
Drag queens. There was one that had, she was interviewed in a conservative talk show. I don't remember her name, but I remember the story is that she had passed out. She was doing a fundraiser for the Democratic Party, I guess, you know, and she passed out and she woke up in the tent and Bill Clinton's penis was on her like face.
I believe it. I believe it. I bet you he does some crazy stuff.
And this is on our list. The last two presidents are the most rumored to be gay. George W. Bush and Barack Obama.
Really? The most rumored?
The most rumored. And it probably is because they're presidents that entered office during the age of the internet, when anyone can find any kind of shred of evidence about anything.
And they both smoked pot.
They both smoke pot. Barack Obama has been rumored that he enjoyed going to a gay bathhouse, Man's Country, here in Chicago with Rahm Emanuel. And that I just have a hard time, you know, knowing how much gay men gossip about having sex with each other. And the fact that Barack Obama has always been a recognizable political figure in this town. That it just, I find it hard to.
In the early 90s, he could have been creeping around town. He could have been doing lots of stuff and people wouldn't have known.
I definitely think that Rahm Emanuel might and probably had sex with other guys. But
well, once you go ballet, you go all the way.
That's right. But Barack Obama, I find a little bit hard because of the fact that, with Rahm Emanuel, they're gay men who are like, I don't want to talk about it. With Barack Obama, nobody. There was though a rumor about a limousine driver who said he was like
He
made a YouTube video and he said that he had done cocaine and had gay sex with Barack Obama
in the back of a limo.
Do you believe him?
I don't believe him. The guy seemed kind of wackadoodle. I forget what happened to him. He blogged. He got a little bit of attention and then it just went away. It went away. But you know, thinking about it, maybe that cigarette in Barack Obama's mouth that he smokes, you know, off camera. Is a substitute for what he really wants in that smile.
Well, and you know, that's what Freud would say, that all cigarette smokers.
I hope the CIA is listening to this right now.
They're like, you're telling us everything we know already.
But George Bush, though, like he was a party guy in college, cocaine, booze, drugs, alcohol. And then there's people that have come forward and said, I had a three-way with him and a guy and a girl. And
so, yeah, I think, you know, because George Bush comes kind of from that Ivy League party scene, you know, I'm pegging him as somebody who probably had gay sex because it got him pussy or got him booze or got him cocaine. You know, I don't think he did it because it was pleasurable to him. If he did it, it was more that it was just the thing to do, you know, to be shocking.
He's like, oh, yeah, I've snorted all this cocaine. I'm high as a kite. We're all naked. We're in the jacuzzi. Why not?
So there's a site, gayGeorgeWBush.tripod.com, and has...
Tripod?
Well, Tripod is a website hosting company. But gayGeorgeWBush.tripod.com. We'll put up a link on our site for it. And there's literally hundreds and hundreds of photos, very famously, of him kissing Tony Blair on the lips, kissing the nation's leaders, kissing the president of Russia on the lips.
He loved the Saudis. He was always making out with Saudis. That's Tony why he started Blair, the war, so the Saudis could make money.
Vicente Fox. And, you know, George W. Bush is the most kissing, the most touchy-feely president. Of all the nation's presidents, we have more photos of George W. Bush kissing and holding hands and snuggling with the nation's leaders like never before.
I wonder why Barack Obama does not like kiss other people.
Because he smokes.
Oh, is that what it is?
He doesn't want to get caught.
Well, I think also, too, is like because, the right wing would just make it go crazy. Look, Obama's in love with this person and they're selling our country down the road.
And you guys might remember us reporting in the years earlier that a former gay prostitute and Talon News reporter Jeff Gannon was romantically linked to George W. Bush and also
What happened to Jeff Gannon? I forgot
Not just
about
George
him.
W. Bush, but Karl Rove. Mm-hmm. And this explains his numerous visits to the White House on days without press conferences. Apparently, Bush authorized Gannon to toss him softballs in news conferences before tossing him softballs in the Oval Office. Mm-hmm. Talk about an all-access pass. So that's pretty much it. You know, I guess I just want to iterate again that political leaders, you know, are attract a certain type of personality, and the fact that you are wanting to be in a very demanding, very stressful, very scrutinized position means that there's some part of you inside you enjoys the attention and the adoration of men and women. Mm. And so in order to be in public office, to some extent, it means being polyamorous. It means being gay and straight. So there you go. That's the conclusion. You know, that if you're going to be a president of the United States, you have to be a little bit gay. And, you know, keep Condoleezza Rice close to you.
Why?
Because I think, you know, Condoleezza Rice is in a lot of ways a very capable woman, and she's very crafty. You know,
what do you mean she's crafty?
She's crafty. She said she's the one who wrote in her own autobiography that she has to be twice as good as white men in order to be seen as their equal. Mm.
And you think she's a lesbian.
And a lot of people rumor that she is a lesbian.
She did share a mortgage with somebody.
With another woman.
With a woman, yeah, on a house.
So there you go.
So, but she's never come out. Will she ever?
Maybe so. So there you go. So... There's our show with political gossip. But I hope you guys enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed this book, One Nation Under Sex, written by Larry Flint. We just covered kind of the gay stuff, but he talks about J. Edgar Hoover in here, you know, Clinton, you know, the Kennedys, all sorts of, if it has to do with sex and the presidency, it's in this book.
Dustin Lance Black is working on a film about the life of J. Edgar Hoover that's going to go into production shortly. I think it's going to be pretty good. Although it's going to be more gossipy and more, TV drama than I would say Milk, because Milk really benefited from the fact that Harvey Milk recorded all those audio tapes. And there was also a documentary, The Life and Times of Harvey Milk, that the film Milk borrowed heavily from. And so, you know, because there is a lot more incomplete information about the life of J. Edgar Hoover. So it's going to be interesting how he handles it.
Don't they have like one picture of J. Edgar Hoover, like sitting on a park bench, like on a dress or something. And they're like, we don't really know if it's him or not. But other than that, I think that they don't really have much conclusive evidence other than anecdotal.
Well, and Roy Cohn, who, you know, beautifully played by Al Pacino in the HBO Angels in America, was well known to be a very, very anti-gay gay man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, ironically, he died of AIDS.
Yeah. And he was friends with Barbara Walters. He tried to date her or something like that, but she felt used. She's like, she knew what was up.
Well, and does Aaron Carter, is he on the level with tabloid journalists? So Aaron Carter dropped a bombshell saying, well, allegedly dropped a bombshell saying that he had been given cocaine and Jesus juice wine, among other things, by Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. And then over the weekend, his representative said that he never said such things. And that I watched the video interview that he did with a tabloid journalist. And never in the interview does he say that he did anything inappropriate with Michael Jackson. And he even goes out of his way to say that he loved Michael Jackson and he wants to protect his legacy. Mm. So it seems incongruous that in an interview where he said, I want to protect this person's legacy, then later on he would start, you know, gossiping about him when the cameras weren't rolling.
Do you think this woman just misheard him or she just made it up?
I think she heard what she wanted to hear, you know, and sometimes it's like, you know, I noticed that the interview took place in a really dark room and there was a lot of people there and she probably was very excited and she probably just, you know, jumped to conclusions. And
I just don't think Michael would give a kid cocaine. Maybe some Jesus juice, but cocaine, no.
I don't know. You know, and maybe Aaron Carter just got cocky and said things that he regrets and now he's just backpedaling.
Although maybe Michael did cocaine and that's why he had to have his nose redone so many times. Because he just kept destroying it with cocaine. Who knows?
We don't know that. So the truth. So he's not willing to talk about it, Aaron Carter, but he says, you know, that is not true.
So Bradley Manning, you know, he said he was bullied for
the WikiLeaks guy.
The WikiLeaks. He says he was bullied in the military for being gay. He would chat with people online and using this pseudonym BradAss87. And he chatted with somebody who lived here in Chicago or nearby, Antelac. And he was talking about his experience in the military and quote, "It took them a while, but they started figuring me out, making fun of me, mocking me, harassing me, heating up with one or two physical attacks." So here you have, you know, Bradley Manning, who's accused of releasing these WikiLeaks, victim of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, being physically and verbally assaulted and abused.
He said that he was put in remote forests with people that didn't really reflect his perspective, you know, with Bubba's, and they disconnected him from his digital self, and it was akin to torture.
Yeah, for him. He says this was his training, though, and that's, you know, it's always going to be like that when you go on physical training. You go out there for 10 weeks. He goes, "The Army took me, a web developer, threw me into a rigid schedule, removed me from my digital self. The Army threw me in the forest of Missouri for 10 weeks with an old M16, Reagan-era load-bearing equipment, and 50 twanging people hailing from places like Texas, Alabama, Georgia, and Mississippi. Joy, what the hell did I put myself through?" Well, it's where you're going to find people in the military. They either come from the inner city for the most part, or they come from the country. It's, you know, it's people looking for a way out. And, you know, Bradley, I guess, was probably looking for a way out too of, you know, the hell he was living in, because I don't think he got along with his parents very well.
But some people in the military are sincere about enlisting because they think it's a good deal for them. Mm-hmm. You know, not everybody's like, "I got to do something with my life," you know?
I think most of them actually are. They're like, well, you know, you see those recruits.
Justin, who was on our show, he said he was sincerely attracted to be in the military because he was idealistic about it.
And he also wanted to get out of his little town in Michigan.
Well, you know, sometimes two things get accomplished.
It hits together, it goes. So I wonder, you know, it's what part did this have to play him with the WikiLeaks of him being abused in the military?
I want to know if the fact that Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the military's ban on service members, gay and lesbian service members serving openly, being lifted, had anything to do with the fact that the nation wanted to persecute Bradley Manning and Julian Assange and WikiLeaks.
Well, I think the ball was already rolling on Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
That certainly helped the ball roll faster because now it gives them a stronger case against Manning because of the fact, even though he was, enlisted at a time when the ban was in effect.
But I think that kind of probably definitely show where his mind was at, that he's in this organization that just devalues him so much as a human being. And then he sees some of the horrible things that these people are doing.
I've been saying this about Bradley Manning and about WikiLeaks and Don't Ask, Don't Tell all along, you know, and I'm just glad to hear other people sharing on this. I'm also disturbed the fact that I'm not sure which publication, was it the New York Times, that went and spoke with Bradley Manning's doctors or physicians and revealed the fact that he identified as trans.
Really? When did that come out?
That's also in the same circle of articles and stuff going around. And a lot of trans people are really unnerved and disturbed by that. So, you know, we don't know if it's true or not. It's all out of speculation. So it
would make a pretty girl.
Everybody makes a pretty girl sometime or another. Yeah. You just have to find the beauty that's inside you. So speaking of the beauty that's inside you, we want to remind the listener that today's show would not be possible without your support. This original one-of-a-kind programming can't happen without your help. So we are asking you to go to feastofun.com/donate and contribute any amount. Right now, we have raised $8,535, a remarkable amount. And we're still on track to reach our goal for $30,000 by August 1st of this year.
Whoa, whoa. I'm so excited. I want to thank everybody for contributing. And please, you know, please help out. If you love the show, do what you can.
Because now this is the hard part. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, we've shaken the tree of the fruit. Mm-hmm. Now we got to shake the tree
even harder
to get the green fruit.
Yes.
The ones that are hanging tightly. Like, well, some people donated, but not me. You know, but we want to thank the people who have donated.
Right. I want to thank Thomas in Philly.
Hi, Thomas.
Ryan in Michigan, who says, see you next month. Ryan's going to come to Chicago. I think he's staying with his uncle, and he's going to be our intern for a couple weeks.
Oh, Ryan, I hope you like to work, mm-hmm. and I hope you like a mop bucket. Seriously, though, speaking, we're going to put Ryan to do lots of interesting things, and he's going to be our first bona fide intern. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure how much time we get with Ryan. Is it going to be a month or a couple of weeks?
A couple of weeks, I think he said. Yeah.
That's going to be exciting, I think.
3 to 4 hours a day.
That is great.
I know. Doug in New Jersey.
Doug, thank you.
Heath in Queensland, Australia. Thank you very much for your generosity.
Good day, mate.
Ellen in North Carolina.
Thank you, darling. Jason. Thank you, Ellen.
Jason in Connecticut.
Hi. Thank you, Jason.
He's really in New York, though. And his boyfriend, David, who's also in New York. They live together.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Right. Nicholas in Shelbyville, Indiana. Graham in the UK.
All right, Graham.
Timothy in Ontario, Canada.
Thank you so much, Timothy.
Ontario is really representing, I gotta say.
And Austin, Texas, and New York City. And how about Chicago?
Anne in Berlin writes, friends, I'm sorry, couldn't spend much more, but because my husband, who is F to M, and me just adopted a baby girl. Congratulations. Money is kind of tight right now in our family, but still, I do enjoy the show so much, I had to give something. Please keep going, guys.
All right, Anna, because, you know, formula and testosterone supplements don't grow on trees. I just had to say
true.
That.
That's true. Phil in Washington, D.C., thank you. Tim in Brooklyn. And then Chris in Alabama writes, I'm not another hopeless in Alabama case. Rather, I'm hopeful that people will give what they can to keep you guys afloat. I teach at Auburn University and have spread word of your show to many GLBT students who need other gay positive voices in their lives. Thank you very much, Chris. I appreciate it. Mark in Bountiful, Utah. I wonder if how bountiful is the town of Bountiful.
Sounds like a sexy town.
It does sound sexy. And then Toppy in Brooktondale, New York.
All right. Thank you so much. I mean, it's just really unique and fantastic and so exciting to hear from all these people and just the donations they've made. It really... I mean, it's extremely touching and frightening at the same time because there's a level of responsibility that comes with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it also represents it's like, okay, you got to work for it now.
Yeah. It's like, as RuPaul's got to say, you bitches better put out this podcast because there's only so many episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race that I'm going to watch and I'm going to get sick and tired of that. You know, so I hope you guys enjoyed our kooky show about the gay sex lives of U.S. presidents. You know, was there any kind of like big revelation or big aha surprise?
Well, I guess the Buchanan stuff I had heard before, the Lincoln, of course, yeah. She'd heard. But I guess the Buchanan reading this book really went more in depth. You know, and it's just there's nothing we can't cover it all in one show. But I was also surprised just why he was so pro-South is because, you know, his lover's influence on him.
Your lover will have a profound mm-hmm. influence on you. But at the uh-huh. same time, you seek mm-hmm. out a lover mm-hmm. that has the kind of qualities mm-hmm. you want to amplify.
You know what Alexis K. Taylor would say about it?
Dick will make you slap somebody. Dick will make you do all sorts of crazy
dick
shit.
Dick will make you enslave people.
That's right. You will be enslaved. Do not enslave yourself to the dick, as mm-hmm. delicious as it may be. Right. It is not something you should be enslaved to. It is a partnership mm-hmm. for pleasure. Melvin S. Marsh on our Facebook page, for facebook.com/feastoffun. Lincoln was said to be gay or at least bisexual, case in point. Joshua Speed. Mm-hmm. Cassandra Fever. Well, I know that J. Edgar Hoover was a crossdresser and was thought to be a deeply closeted gay. And Andy in Germany, Guraba, I read Franklin Pierce was bi and had a long-term relationship with a guy.
Mm, Franklin Pierce. How many days was he president? Wasn't he?
Like a day.
Like a couple days. He's in that Simpsons song, isn't he?
Yeah. We are the mediocre presidents. You won't find the faces on dollars or on cents. There's Taylor, there's Tyler, there's Filbert, and there's Haynes. I'm William Henry Harrison. I died in 30 days. Oh. No, he's not. But anyways, Sidrar Rao said Clinton because his wife was manly.
Mm.
Ha! Cassandra Fever, there are truckloads of closet gays in Washington politics, but it's safe to say that Bill Clinton is definitely not one of them. Yeah, but, you know, Bill Clinton strikes me as a bit of a, he likes the tea girls, you know? He strikes me that he wouldn't mind having sex with a tea girl once or twice.
Mm. Yeah, as long as it's feminine in appearance. As long as that person is feminine in appearance.
Andy, again, from Germany. Off topic, but there are rumors that Angela Merkel is a lesbian.
She sure looks like one.
One German journalist now. Who's Angela Merkel? She
owns Germany, basically.
The prime minister.
Yeah.
Okay, one German.
The chancellor.
The
Führer.
She's the Führer of Germany. One German journalist now published a book about a fictional lesbian chancellor, but she has a lot in common with Merkel. Power hungry, very rational, cold, and gets easily rid of all the men who stand in her way.
Mm.
Ooh.
And Matthew Munson writes, I'm wishing that we'd have Fred Karger as a serious choice so he'd be representing us. Fred Karger is a gay Republican and he's running for president. We'll see.
Go for it, girl. I guess. Jeff Gerard, Larry Flint, of course, the fantastic book. And he posted a lot of links to all sorts of delicious, we're going to post all these things in a blog entry because there's so much stuff about George W. Bush and Chad Savage having intercourse at the Bohemian Grove Club and conservatives and their loves for gay porn stars and Bush, McCain and Obama all having sex at the Bohemian Grove.
What's the Bohemian Grove?
I guess it's some club in Washington. I'm not sure. Philip Blackburn, I heard a 13th generation descendant of George Washington was gay. Oh, wait, that's me.
That's not true because George Washington didn't have any offspring.
That's true.
So Philip Blackburn is a liar and he's the true murderer.
What?
That's how you always like catch people in their lies and then you reveal them as a murderer. Who'd you kill, Phil?
Well, maybe he's related to George Washington through his siblings or other relatives.
I think he had like a cousin or something like that. Mary Todd, or his wife, had kids.
Yeah, so there you go. So that is
all. Distant.
Oh, wait a minute. Before we conclude today's show, let's talk about Harry Potter and his love for the booze. He's saying that he can't. Daniel Radcliffe can no longer drink anymore.
Too many parties, man. Who knew that they were partying so much on that set?
I became so reliant on alcohol to enjoy stuff. There were a few years there when I was so enamored with the idea of living some sort of glamorous famous person's lifestyle that really isn't suited to me. I really got away with that because there were many instances when a paparazzi shot like that could have been taken. As much as I would love to be a person that goes to parties and has a couple of drinks and has a nice time, that doesn't work for me. I do that very unsuccessfully. I'm actually enjoying the fact that I can have a relationship with my girlfriend where I'm really pleasant and not fucking up totally all the time. I'm just rather sit at home and read or talk to someone that makes me laugh, like Dumbledore. There's no shame in enjoying the quiet life, and that's been the realization for a few past years for me.
Wow.
Well, shout out to all my friends out there that don't want to drink.
Yes, and shout out to all our friends who have fallen off the wagon.
And
you
shout out to our friends
are.
Who love the booze.
Yeah.
You know, the alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's little problems. I wonder who said that. We'll leave you here with a song, Levi Christ.
Oh, your mom's a big fan of his now again.
My mom called and said, I want you to play Levi Christ on the show. I like him.
Because she saw him on TV.
She saw him on a TV. They had a tribute to America, and they had Levi Christ performing on PBS. And so we're going to leave you here with Nothing at All. Give Me Everything or Nothing at All from his album Where I Belong. Fantastic song that really represents where we're going as a country and the gay rights movement. All or nothing, bitches. Give it up.
I like it when you become patriotic and passionate.
And bitchy. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a sexy combination. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Fausto Furnos.
I'm Mark Villian.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Nothing at all.